Whether exploring the majestic desert southwest or enjoying the changing leaves in the high country, there are incredible experiences waiting to be discovered at an Arizona state park. Go to azstateparks.com to learn more.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It's a Football Friday live right here on FFC. Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, week number 3 of the NFL season now underway. Thursday night in Santa Clara between the San Francisco 49ers and the New York Giants. We'll recap the first game of week number 3. We'll set up the Sunday slate. And of course, Joe, week number 4 of this college football season is as good as you will find, not only this year in 2023, but for the past 5 years in the sport of CFB. Lisi, so much to get to. Nobody I'd rather be rocking with on this Football Friday. I'm Football Full Circle.
Oh, this is really what it's all about, Ben. I mean, on the college football side, like you said, the best slate that we've seen potentially in the last 7 or 8 years. I mean, it's top 25 battles from top to bottom. Doesn't really get better than that. And we saw a little bit of a taste about potentially week 3 in the NFL, right? Two NFC teams, Daniel Jones and the Giants, squaring off against potentially the best team in the conference in terms of the San Francisco 49ers. And all San Fran did was just dominate that Giants offense and wear down their defense in the second half en route to a double-digit win.
Yep, 30-12, the final last night in Santa Clara, the home debut for Brock Purdy and the 49ers in 2023. And Joe, San Francisco is the first team this year to reach 3-0, a perfect unbeaten start through 3 games for San Fran. Kyle Shanahan and his team, Joe, have scored 30 points in each of the opening 3 games this year, all 3 victories, of course. And last night, the Niners were dominant. They win 30-12, Joe, covering as a 10.5-point favorite. The total that closed at 43.5 stays under because that Giants offense, Joe, banged up last night. No Saquon Barkley. He confirmed to Amazon's Taylor Rooks before the game it is a high ankle sprain, but he does not rule out a return next Monday night back at home in MetLife for Big Blue against the Seattle Seahawks. But no Saquon Barkley, no Andrew Thomas, a banged up offensive line. The defensive front for San Francisco took advantage. The offense without Saquon, Joe, for Brian Dable Ball and company looked rather stagnant, and the San Francisco 49ers looked dominant on the other side offensively and explosive. As we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM Channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. But Joe, the San Francisco 49ers, a perfect 3-0, covering as a 10.5-point favorite against the New York Giants on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, and it was Brock Purdy through the air, right? 310 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. No interceptions. Christian McCaffrey and the rushing attack took over. And when you hold Daniel Jones and that offense to 137 passing yards, 2.6 yards per carry, Ben, yeah, most likely you're going to win that ball game, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the Giants needed a better effort out of Daniel Jones in the passing game. I thought potentially we might see the more of what happened and transpired in terms of the second half against the Arizona Cardinals. They did that for a drive or two in the first half, but the consistency was not there in terms of the offensive line. Poor decisions in the second half. And again, that Giant defense, as good as they basically played in the first half, when your offense is handing over a short field to the San Francisco 49ers, very difficult to really win that type of ball game on the road.
And when your offense is doing nothing, to contain or hold on to the football, even, Joe. That time of possession battle was ridiculous last night in Santa Clara. The Niners, Joe, ran 76 offensive plays as compared to 44 for the New York Giants. It was dominance throughout the game and even the game flow. The New York Giants had a non-existent rushing attack last night. Matt Breida leading the way, but four carries for 17 yards. As a team, Joe, 11 attempts for 29 yards. Daniel Jones, that had 43 or more yards in each of the first two games for the Giants on the ground, two attempts for 5 yards last night. Looked hesitant to run, even when there seemed to be some green grass ahead. And San Francisco did a great job, Joe. Anytime there seemed to be a little bit of open space for Danny Dimes, a defender, a spy was quickly crashing for the 49ers. But, Joe, on the other side, you mentioned Brock Purdy, 310 yards, two passing scores. Early on, though, Joe, first quarter and a half, he didn't necessarily look all that efficient, all that clean. No turnovers, once again, for Brock Purdy. But still, Joe, it looked like a little bit shaky in that offense early on. Is this the quarter back to distribute the football to all of the wildly talented offensive playmakers that San Francisco has? And then at the end of the day, you hit refresh on the box score. He throws for 310 and two scores and plays clean, efficient football once again.
Yeah, I think if there's a silver lining in last night's game, it was the defense led by Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator. They played phenomenal in terms of the red zone, I thought, even though they gave up 30 points, especially in the first half. And they sort of showed a recipe about how to pressure Brock Purdy. A lot of pressure off the edge, a lot of safety blitzes at particular times that made them a little bit rattled. And that's maybe a big picture about how to attack the San Francisco 49ers from a defense perspective. So I actually thought the Giants defense, even though they lost the game, didn't play all that bad, and they had a pretty good effort forcing San Francisco to work down the field. They minimized chunk plays as well, but at the end of the day, Brock Purdy battle tested yet again, did not turn the football over, and found a way to pull out the victory at home, Ben.
You saw that offense on full display. Christian McCaffrey, 119 total yards, 85 on the ground, his 12th consecutive game finding Pater. Debo Samuel scored as well. Six grabs, 129 yards on 12 targets, Joe, and a touchdown. It looked like at times when Samuel hit the open field, it wasn't even that open, but he was bringing Giants defenders along for the ride or making those would-be tacklers miss. And George Kittle, welcome back to the offensive production. Seven grabs, nine targets, 90 yards for the tight end. Did not find Pater, Joe, as I thought he might, but still a big contribution. And all those offensive pieces on full display for San Francisco last evening.
Yeah, and it allowed them to convert huge third downs. You mentioned Debo Samuel. There was a critical third down in the second quarter of that ball game. Bubble screen, he turns a two-yard gain into an 18-yard gain, right, because of his elusiveness and athleticism. And George Kittle as well. When your wide receivers are double-teamed, what's your security blanket? Not just for young quarterbacks, but even veteran quarterbacks like Pat Mahomes, the check down to George Kittle and the tight ends. That's where you need to have success, and they did that last night. Again, it was a perfectly executed game plan. They were very patient out of the San Francisco 49ers. They waited their opportunity, and then in the second half when they got it, they exploded for touchdowns, and that's what you want to see out of a contender in terms of the San Fran offense last night.
30 points in all three wins now for San Francisco, a perfect 3-0, and Joe, the 49ers now booked as the favorites to win the NFC. They moved in front of the Eagles after week number one in the impressive outing on the road in Pittsburgh, plus 290. Joe, quickly here, do the Niners look like the favorite in the NFC to you?
Well, right now they do, but I think head-to-head, I still will give the inside edge to the Eagles because of the athleticism on the offensive side of the ball, Ben.
We'll see Philly on Monday night on the road in Tampa Bay. We'll look at the Sunday slate all around the National Football League up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC on a Football Friday, setting the stage for week number 3 in the Sunday slate in the NFL. And then a little bit later on, week number 4, a separation type significant Saturday in college football. All right, Lisi, let's go through the slate that we have on Sunday. I think one of the most intriguing games that is out there, the Chargers and the Vikings. Could it be, Lisi Guy, an elimination game on Sunday? Now, I know what everybody's thinking. Ben, elimination game, there's been 2 games played so far. This is week number 3. But both of these playoff teams, Joe, from a season ago, are winless 0-2 this year. Since 2000, 99 teams have started off the year in the NFL 0-3. Only one, Joe, has ever made the postseason, the 2018 Houston Texans. So without a tie, yes, Joe, it might be an elimination game in the Twin Cities on Sunday.
Yeah, and 2 quarterbacks that are potentially a little bit on the hot seat, right? Even though they put up numbers, Justin Herbert and Kirk Cousins, their teams are 0-2 and backs against the wall. These were 2 teams that were potentially slotted, not just as wild card contenders, right? But potentially, you know, to win the division in terms of the AFC West and to challenge Kansas City, and obviously in terms of the NFC North, and they come right out of the gate, inconsistent on the defensive side of the ball. I think the Chargers have shown a little more consistency in terms of the offense. They're a little more balanced, but at the end of the day, can they run the football on this front 7 in terms of Minneapolis and Minnesota? We'll see. I give the inside edge to the Vikings just because they are at home, Ben. I believe in Justin Jefferson. I believe in Kirk Cousins and the rushing attack of Madison a little bit more than I do Staley and Justin Herbert.
So I think it's really interesting, Joe, because the Minnesota Vikings have only run the football for 69 yards so far this year in total in 2 games. They have thrown the football on 78% of their offensive plays. Kirk Cousins has attempted 44 passes each of the first 2 for Minnesota, and the Chargers have the worst passing defense currently in the National Football League, giving up more than 322 yards per game on average. Now, I know a lot of people would say Miami had 466 with Tua Tagovailoa week number 1 against the Bolts. That's your average right there. Ryan Tannehill, Joe, threw for 246 last week against LA with an average attempt of more than 10 yards per pass. That on the bell curve is incredibly, incredibly high for Ryan Tannehill. So Kirk Cousins' prop reflects that, 293.5. But Joe, what is so fascinating about both of these teams? Now, Herbert, of course, was paid this offseason. He's not going anywhere. But the stats he puts up need to be met by success and wins and big spots. And if they start 0-3, Joe, you would think that might keep them from the postseason. Both playoff teams last year, both winless, both have lost both of their games, Joe, in one score affairs. Last year, the Chargers played 13 of their 18 games decided by a single score. Minnesota, of course, 11 of their 13 wins by a single score. And Joe, both teams have lost both of their games this year by just one score. I think it's going to be as tight as those odds say for Sunday in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I could see this going right down to the fourth quarter. I think that the problem is that whichever team does lose this game, you got to worry about them imploding for the rest of the regular season. Do they all of a sudden, they just like all of a sudden lose their intensity? That's something to monitor, I think, after this game. They're going to give it everything they have, right? When you start 0-2 with a 17-game season, you need to win this third ball game of the season to give you a shot. I know what you're saying about O'Connell, and I agree with that. I think in a big spot, especially last year in the playoff loss to the New York Giants, he didn't utilize Dalvin Cook, didn't utilize the rushing attack enough. But at the end of the day, we know how you have to attack L.A. It is through the over the top, right? We saw last week Tannehill do it. We saw Tua do a week 1 with a 466-yard performance. To me, that's all Jordan Addison. That's all Justin Jefferson, and that's all Kirk Cousins. That goes right into their strength as an offense. And the fact that they're playing at home, Ben, that's why I give the inside edge to O'Connell and the crew.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. We'll see how Cam Akers is involved, if at all, on Sunday. Elsewhere, Joe, another game for the Tennessee Titans, another spread right around that key number of 3. The Titans, a 3.5-point dog on the road in Cleveland against the Browns. A small total at 39.5. Lisi Guy, what's the thought?
I'm all in on the Browns here. I think this is a bounce back spot. They're laying 3.5. I understand Nick Chubb is out, but Jerome Ford and obviously now Kareem Hunt being signed to that offense. I don't have problems with the rushing attack. I do have problems with them being more aggressive in terms of challenging teams. I didn't think they were very aggressive in terms of Deshaun Watson in the passing game, even though we turned the football over first play of the game. This is a guy making $180 million a year, $280, whatever the guaranteed money was. You got to put the ball in his hands. You got to involve Donovan Peoples-Jones, Elijah Moore. I think they bounce back in a big way. I know it's Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel, and they look like the side, but I think this is a dominant double-digit win by Cleveland in terms of a bounce-back spot here after the Monday night loss.
I'm concerned, Joe. Deshaun Watson is being mediocre. Maybe that's too harsh on the term mediocre.
He's average right now.
I think he's below average, frankly. He's got a completion percentage this year of 55.1%. Last year in the six-game sample size, it was 58%. He's averaging a .184 through the air last year. Not much better this season. He's thrown an interception in every game so far this year. 8 touchdowns and 7 picks in his 8 games now as a Cleveland Browns quarterback. I would be concerned, Joe, if I am Cleveland and what that offense looks like, because we can't just turn to Deshaun Watson now to steady this ship. I'll tell you where I go, Joe. The under 39.5. Tennessee, since the start of last year, has played 13 of their 19 games to the under. The Titans, Joe, are a team that I think still struggles offensively, and I'm not really sure how the offense is created just yet. Under 39.5 is my look. Leesy guy, it's been 14 consecutive games since the Jets have beaten the New England Patriots. The last win, 4-game green against the Patriots, was back in December of 2015. 39.5 is a low total. That's what we discussed for Browns and Titans. 36.5, Joe, is the number here between the Pats and the Jets. It's the lowest number of the weekend.
Yeah, and this is one of my best bets. I'm closing my eyes. I'm taking the New York Jets. It's not a backing of Zach Wilson. It's not a backing of me loving the Jets. But I do feel they have more playmakers than the Patriots. I know Belichick has owned them, but I think they're completely one-dimensional. The fact that they're going to go into this game running the football with Zeke Elliott and Ramondre Stevenson that got held in check last week, I'm not sold. I'm not sold on the wideouts. I'm not sold on the passing game with Mac Jones. And I'll say it again. I think they're regressing severely under Bill Belichick this year. That's why I'm taking the Jets in the mild upset. I know all the numbers favor New England, but give me the Jets because of their offensive speed.
Wow. I would be interested, Joe, to see Zach Wilson in this matchup against Bill Belichick and think that Zach Wilson gets the better of him. I continue with the trend. The Patriots have won 14 straight, and yeah, a lot of that was under Tom Brady. They had divisional dominance over everybody in the AFC East, but since 2020, Joe, in the post-Tom Brady era, of course, the Pats, who have won 14 straight, have won all 6 by an average margin of 15 points per game. I believe New England continues the trend. They make it 15 straight. The Patriots get their first win of the year, and they will cover as a short 2.5-point favorite. How about another AFC East team, Joe Lisi? The Buffalo Bills, a 6.5-point favorite on the road in Washington. Do you think the Bills can cover as nearly a touchdown favorite?
I think they can, but anytime AFC teams play in Washington, it seems like they struggle. I think the Bills win, but I think Washington could be inside the number, Ben, but I do feel it's a high-scoring affair.
I would think so, Joe. I think the offense looks good under Bieniemy. 43.5 is that number. Sam Howell threw for nearly 300 yards a weekend ago. We're back on FFC with more NFL previews for the Sunday slate, week number 3 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Week number three of the NFL season is already underway. 13 games on Sunday. Sunday night football in Las Vegas between the Raiders and Steelers. We'll talk about it in just a moment. But Joe, 12 games through the afternoon slate, three in the late afternoon window, nine in the early window. So we keep firing through that early window. The Jacksonville Jaguars, Joe, an 8.5-point favorite against the Houston Texans. They're not the only 8.5-point favorite against an AFC South team on Sunday. The Ravens, also an 8.5-point favorite against the Indianapolis Colts in Baltimore. Joe, of those 8.5-point favorites against AFC South teams, of course, Jacksonville in division against the Texans, who do you think wins by a bigger margin on Sunday?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know what? I would say Jacksonville. I think that's one of my favorite games of the weekend in regards to best bets. I love the over in that ball game. I think that Jacksonville dominates Houston from start to finish. They played very well, I thought, in terms of the first half of that matchup against Kansas City. Missed opportunities. They had an opportunity in the fourth quarter to potentially tie the game inside the 30-yard line. Could not convert. And at the end of the day, I think they're up against it from a defensive perspective. Houston going up against that offense with Trevor Lawrence. That being said, I was very impressed with C.J. Stroud last week, 384 through the air. He's lighting it up. Those playmakers that are around him. Again, I think Jacksonville is the side. I think they win this ball game convincingly. They're the much more complete team, anywhere from 14 to 17 points. But I think this game gets into the 50s, Ben.
Yeah, Joe, there's some weird things, right, that happen in the AFC South, the very long-standing trouble the Colts have had in Duval County. Up until last year, Joe, that was the case for the Jags against the Texans. Jacksonville had lost nine straight games against Houston before the second-to-last regular season game, the opening weekend of January in 2023, but the 2022 campaign. And the Jags won to snap that nine-game skid in Houston 31-3. I still think, Joe, Jacksonville is looking to make that statement. They did win by double digits against the Colts week number one, but it wasn't an easy double-digit cruise. And last week, they thought they had this golden opportunity at home. The defense was great against Kansas City. The offense only scored 9 points, no touchdowns, and they lost 17-9. I think Jacksonville's on the right side. But Baltimore, Joe, in their only game as a touchdown or more favorite this year, also against an AFC South foe, those Houston Texans, they did win 25-9, covering as an 8.5-point favorite. Quickly, I just want to highlight what Lamar Jackson has done so far this year. 24-33, 237, and two TDs last week on the road in Cincy. 12 carries for 54 yards. Also had 38 rushing yards against the Texans. He was the leading rusher in that game. A 74.5% completion percentage, Joe, so far this year for Lamar. It's second best in the NFL. I think there's this weird misnomer out there, Joe, that because Lamar's not putting up 350-yard passing games, that he's not a good quarterback, not a good thrower of the football. You will find few throwers of the football in the NFL as efficient and careful with it as Lamar Jackson is. Only one double-digit INT season now in his sixth year in the National Football League, Joe. So did want to highlight that for Lamar Jackson in this game.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's efficient, hasn't had to do a whole lot in regards to, you know, just lighting it up because the rushing attack has done well, the defense has forced turnovers, and at the end of the day, he's playing well within the scheme. I mean, he's completing over 70% of his passes. What more do you want? You don't want to see him all of a sudden take big hits in terms of the rushing attack as well. So I think they're doing a pretty good job of watching out for Lamar Jackson in terms of making sure that he's there in terms of week 17 as opposed to losing them again before the month of November. And at the end of the day, that was a gutty win on the road in a very difficult environment. Now, granted, maybe Joe Burrow and that offense aren't the same, but to go in there, get the victory with as many injuries as they had been, that was a quality win. Divisional opponent, you pick it up, and now you move on to face another AFC opponent in Indy with a backup quarterback, even though he's a starter in this league years ago. With Gardner Minshew, you should be able to win this ball game.
Anthony Richardson still in concussion protocol. What Joe is referencing is Gardner more than likely in place to get the start in Baltimore on Sunday. Joe, a really good point about the Ravens, one of two unbeaten teams left in the AFC, a perfect 2-0, the only undefeated side in the AFC North. Joe, the other perfect 2-0 team in the AFC? You bet it. Miami, the Dolphins, a 6.5-point favorite, going to South Beach, Joe, for the first time this year. The Dolphins have been impressive. Two wins on the road to start off their season. They welcome in the Broncos, who have been the opposite of impressive. Two losses at home on the road for the first time this year, booked as an underdog for the first time this year. Joe, the Dolphins, a near touchdown favorite in Miami on Sunday. Will the Fins cover?
Yeah, this I told you in the break, this is the most intriguing game of the day, not just because I'm a Dolphin fan, but I want to see what you get out of the Denver Broncos. Backs against the wall, Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, the way they lost that ball game again in terms of at home, two losses, you lose to basically a rookie quarterback second year in terms of Sam Howell. You can nail afford a bad performance, but Miami, they can throw it, and if they can run it the way they did against New England, a 141 in terms of Mostert, big picture, Ben, they're looking like a potential Super Bowl contender, right? As long as
no doubt
Tua can stay healthy. So one of the most intriguing games of the day. I believe in McDaniel. I don't believe in Sean Payton and the chemistry of the Denver Broncos. Going on the road, it's a potential look ahead for Miami, but I think they do cover this number. I think they're the more complete team, and they're playing like a unit as opposed to the Denver Broncos right now.
Yeah, Joe, I think it's a really good point. I think we could look back on this Sunday in South Beach and say, wow, that was a discount. The Dolphins laying less than a touchdown against the Broncos, but it is a big week four on the horizon for Miami against Buffalo in Buffalo, a 3.5-point underdog. But I expect all the focus to be here, their home debut in Miami. Of course, when you talk about Tua Tagovailoa, you must mention the pass prop, 268.5. The receiving yards, number 4, Tyreek Hill, 88 and a hook. Jaylen Waddle in concussion protocol, but if he plays, Joe, he has been big, going over his receiving yards prop each of the first two games for the Fins this season. Elsewhere in that early window, Joe, a couple of tight games. The Packers, a 1.5-point favorite in Green Bay, the home opener in Lambeau this year against New Orleans, and another NFC North, NFC South showdown. The Falcons unbeaten 2-0, like the Saints are as well, and Detroit, a 3-point favorite at home in their second game in the Motor City against the Dirty Birds. Joe, two NFC North, NFC South games between the two teams that have the two best odds in those respective divisions. What do you think we see? Detroit, Atlanta, Green Bay, New Orleans?
I lean to Detroit in this battle, and I know Atlanta's a public bet team, and Bijan stepped up with a 127, but Goff is a much better quarterback, especially at home, than Des Ritter. And that's Des Ritter's going to have to light it up, I think, against Detroit to pull out that victory. I think Detroit will shut down the run. I like the Lions in that ball game. I lean to Green Bay, but this is tough for Jordan Love going up against that defense in terms of Dennis Allen and the crew. Derek Carr, not all that great, but they get the victory on Monday night. For argument's sake, I'll lean Green Bay, but I do feel that's an over in regards to that matchup. Don't like the Detroit over. Think that game could trend to the under, but like the over in Green Bay, Ben.
Yeah, the Saints, Lisi guy, have played 11 of their last 12 games to an under. It's been that defense, a dominant defense that has really kept the pace for New Orleans this year and even last year. We haven't seen a ton out of this Saints offense and running back concerns. No Jamal Williams, but keep an eye on Kendre Miller, the former TCU back, a guy Joe and I know very, very well. I'll be interested, Joe, to see what Jordan Love does against the best defense he has faced so far. Three touchdown passes in each of his first two games, zero interceptions. He is one of four quarterbacks, Joe, in the last decade in the NFL to start a season with at least three passing touchdowns in both of his first two games and zero interceptions in that span. The other guys, Mahomes in 18 and 19, Brady in 2015, and Peyton Manning in 2014. This a big test, though, against New Orleans. All right, Joe, now to that late afternoon slate. What a week it has been in the Windy City. The Chiefs and the Bears, Joe, and it doesn't look like things are going to get all that much better for Chicago. A 12.5 point underdog, Joe, in Kansas City. But I know you think the Bears are live. Why?
I'm not a scared Ben. I'm taking the Bears with the 12.5 and Justin Fields. That's it. Fast and loose. Fast and loose. We're going to play fast and loose. I don't care about Allen Williams stepping down. I don't care that he called out the offensive staff. At the end of the day, I think they're going to be in striking distance. Again, have we seen a four-quarter effort out of the Kansas City Chiefs so far? No. For game one, they were inconsistent. Game two, they were inconsistent. Even though they turned it on in the second half against Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, that offense sputtered in the first half with Travis Kelce back. So at the end of the day, I think the Bears can open it up. Listen, you have nothing to lose. You're 12.5 point dogs. And here's the other thing, too. Why is the total 48.5? I mean, Kansas City, 17-20 in the first two games. We know what the Bears get. We're expecting 48 points. I don't know. That seems odd to me, but give me the Bears plus the points, and I'm going to take the over in that matchup.
Lazy guy, I think the reason we are seeing a high total is because the Bears were the worst scoring defense in the NFL last year. The Bears are the second worst scoring defense in the National Football League this year. You're giving up more than 32 points per game to start. And Allen Williams, the defensive coordinator, just offered up his resignation, all part of a wild week in the Windy City. Two more NFL games to break down for the Sunday slate before the rest of the show is week number four of college football in the Saturday schedule. That's up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back live right here on FFC. We're going to finish out the NFL Sunday slate, and then our attention is week four of the college football season. All right, Lisi, two more games to get to. We mentioned the 12.5 point spread in favor of Kansas City at home against the Chicago Bears. There's also a 12.5 point number for the Dallas Cowboys on the road in the desert against the Arizona Cardinals. Quickly, Joe, before the game, bad news for the boys yesterday. Trayvon Diggs suffering a torn ACL at practice. You hate to see things like that. He is going to miss the remainder of this year, Joe, for what has been the most dominant defense so far in Dallas.
Yeah, again, big blow to the secondary long term, but in this ball game against Arizona, I don't think the Cowboys offense or defense misses a beat. I think they absolutely dominate Arizona. We saw the second half collapse against the New York Giants. Again, I don't see James Conner getting 70 or 80 yards on that front seven like he did last week against the New York Giants. I think Dallas absolutely blows them out 20 plus on the road in Arizona Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, 14.5 the team total for the Cardinals. No Dallas opponent has scored more than 10 points so far this year. Of course, the Giants shut out the Jets only 10 last week. I don't think the Cardinals are markedly better than either of those offenses. That would be my look in this football game. The Cowboys have 10 sacks this year. They've already forced 5 interceptions. Trey Diggs had one of them. They will miss him the rest of this year, but still going to be a dominant defense. Lisi, I swear to you, earlier this week, I looked at Sunday Night Football, Las Vegas and Pittsburgh out in the desert at Allegiant Stadium, and the Raiders were the underdog. And then I went back starting to do prep for the show yesterday, and the Steelers were the underdog getting 2.5 points. What am I missing here, Joe? Why is Pittsburgh the dog on the road against the Raiders?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, not the same offense, right? A little inconsistent with the rushing attack in Najee Harris. Jaylen Warren has looked good. And what about the evolution and progression of Kenny Pickett? Fans calling for Matt Canada to be fired. Mike Tomlin answering those questions. At the end of the day, defense stepped up, got you the win in terms of Monday night over a divisional opponent. Now you go on the road. The Raiders got absolutely kicked in the chops by Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So this is a tough battle. I mean, it's basically, in my opinion, a coin flip, because it wouldn't shock me if either team wins it. But I'm going to lean to the Raiders at home. I just think their ability to run it. I like the quarterback position and quarterback battle of Garoppolo over Kenny Pickett on the road. Give me the Raiders. This is a game I'm not betting, meaning maybe pre-kick, but I'll watch it from the in-game perspective. But early on, I lean to the Raiders.
I lean to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 52-31-5 against the spread as an underdog since 2007 under Mike Tomlin. They have won 43 of their 88 games as an underdog outright. That's even more impressive than the better covering percentage against the spread, the best in the NFL as an underdog in that span. And one of those covers and one of those outright wins was last Monday at home against the Browns. Now, I don't really know what's happening with Matt Canada and this Steelers offense. I'm with the ins out there, all the Pittsburgh Steelers fans that are chanting fire Matt Canada, and probably some other obscenities. I don't really love what he's doing with this offense that I think has some young and talented playmakers on it. But the defense is the reason for me, Joe, that I think the Steelers win this game. I haven't been inspired by what I've seen offensively out of Jimmy Garoppolo or Josh McDaniels or this Raiders offense at this moment. Give me the Steelers outright plus 116 on the money line. All right, Lisey, that was fun. On, right? NFL Sunday, great times, week number three. There is nothing better than week number four in the Saturday slate in college football. Six ranked versus ranked matchups. Only the second time, Joe, that has happened on a single Saturday since November of 2017. That is how good and how significant this Saturday is going to be. So, Lisey, without further ado, we go in chronological order through those top 25 tilts. But we'll start with a game, Joe, that's not ranked versus ranked, although Clemson is technically 26th because they're receiving the most votes outside of the top 25 in the AP poll. The Tigers, a 1.5-point underdog at home, Joe, in Death Valley against 4th-ranked Florida State. Clemson under Dabo Swinney. He became a full-time head coach. His first full season was 2009. Have only been booked as a home dog, Joe, in Clemson 7 times. Are they going to make good on that plus money price on the money line, plus 110, and win outright?
I think they do. 54-2 straight up since 2015 at home in Death Valley. Again, I believe more in the Clemson defense at home than I do Jordan Travis on the road. It's not a knock about Florida State. They're deserving of being ranked 4th nationally. I just think Clemson's defense steps up. 29% third down defense and holding opposing offenses to only 3 yards per carry. I'll take a shot with Cade Klubnik and the crew at home and think that Dabo's better than Norvell in this spot.
Yeah, listen, Lisey guy, I am worried about the inadequacy of this Clemson offense against the Florida State defense that I believe in, albeit Thomas Castellanos took them to town last week in Chestnut Hill, combining for nearly 400 yards of total offense. Cade Klubnik better be watching Castellanos and what BC did offensively and not their game tape week number one against Duke. I'm going to stay away. I agree with the line movement. I think it's going to be super, super close. I give the edge to Florida State, but not enough that I would bet this football game. I might look at a Jordan Travis rushing yards prop. All right, Joe, that game, noon Eastern, the kick. What a 3:30 p.m. Eastern time window we have. A top 15 tilt in Tuscaloosa. It's 13th ranked Alabama and number 15 Ole Miss, Joe. If there was ever an opportunity for Lane Kiffin to back up the talk and take out his former boss in Nick Saban, might this be the year? The Crimson Tide booked as a 7-point favorite. Lisey, who are you going with Saturday in Brian Denny?
Well, numbers suggest Alabama 7 straight by 27.5 points per game, but I got 2 words for you, Ben. Jackson Dart. That's the difference. Jackson Dart. I think he's got the potential to put pressure on Alabama's defense on the perimeter. Stepped up last week, 136 on the ground, 9.1 yards per carry, and more importantly, 2 TDs. Battle tested. He's more consistent than Jalen Milroe. Even though Milroe deserves the job, I think the upset special, we stick the fork right in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. We hand them their second loss at home this year. Ole Miss outright.
I mean, listen, it would be a fork, Lisey. It would truly be a fork. Alabama has not lost multiple home games in a season since Nick's first at the helm. That was back in 2007. They had never suffered a double-digit home loss at home under Nick Saban in the 17 years he has been the head ball coach. They had one week number two against Texas. Now, Steve Sarkisian did what only two others had done at the time, Joe, and knocked off his former boss in Nick Saban. I think Lane's thinking, damn, Sark, you couldn't give me this one, because I'm not sure Alabama loses twice at home in the same year. Could it be within that touchdown? Sure. But I said it on TEL, Joe. I will say it here. If Tommy Rees as much takes a sip of water, let alone a breath of air, Joe, Nick Saban is going to be there. Tommy Rees gets up to take a piss, Nick Saban is going to be there. They are orchestrating a scheme that I think has to benefit Jalen Milroe and all that he can do athletically at the quarterback system to take advantage of Ole Miss defensively. It has to happen. We will see if it happens. Loves a look, by the way, at Jackson Dart's rushing yards prop, Joe, 44.5, 14 carries each of the past 2 weeks for the running Rebs quarterback. Now, Joe, the rest of the 3:30 p.m. Eastern time slate, two ranked versus ranked Pac-12 matchups. We start where all the eyeballs are going to be. Autzen Stadium, Eugene, Oregon. The 10th ranked Ducks, the 19th ranked Colorado Buffaloes. The debut in Pac-12 play for Deion Sanders, Joe. A 14.5 point spread last week at this time. In the early look ahead, now is a full three touchdowns, 21 points in favor of Oregon. Lisey, can Colorado keep it more competitive?
They can. It's now up over three touchdowns, 21.5, so more money coming in potentially on Oregon. Here's the bottom line. Can Colorado run the football a stitch, only averaging 1.9 yards per carry, and can they protect Shedeur Sanders? 16 sacks allowed. That can't happen. I give the inside edge to the physicality of Oregon offensive defensive lines, and Bo Nix completing 77% of his passes, and he's running the football lately. I think it's all Oregon, but again, nothing would shock me with Deion in this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, they were a 21-point underdog, of course, against TCU, right? And pulled off an outright upset nobody expected to see. But there are so many deficiencies defensively for Colorado that I think Oregon takes advantage of. I'm going to look at Bo Nix on the ground when that price becomes available, Joe. Not out just yet, but you mentioned the Buffs have struggled running the football. 35.5 is the rushing yards prop for Dylan Edwards, the lead back for Colorado in this matchup. I look at Oregon, Joe, if I was going to look anywhere, and I'd look at their team total, you can estimate it around 45 and a hook. I think Oregon can name their price in this matchup and go out there and get it. Again, I really worry about this Buffs defense against the Oregon Ducks. 45.5 is that total for Colorado and Oregon, that team total for the Ducks. Elsewhere, Joe, in that slate, 11th ranked Utah hosts 22nd UCLA in the 3:30 p.m. Eastern time window. In Rice-Eccles, Joe, it is hard to go to Salt Lake and get a road victory. Utah's won 16 consecutive at Rice-Eccles. The line is on the move, backing up Utah a little bit more because Cam Rising is back at practice. Rising, Joe, listed as the starting quarterback. If he starts, what is that line come kickoff tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time?
Maybe 6.5. I could see a little more money coming in on Utah. I mean, that's the matchup. Dante Moore, freshman quarterback on the road against a veteran secondary. We talked about it. They're giving up a 166 in the back end. Only have allowed one passing touchdown. 52% completion percentage against opposing quarterbacks. Going to be very difficult. And with that home win streak, I can only lean Utah. I mean, at the end of the day, I think it'll be one of the best games of the afternoon. But somehow, some way, I could see Utah winning anywhere from 10 to 13 points, Ben.
Yeah, Joe, physicality is the reason Kyle Whittingham has one of the most consistent programs in all of college football. Doesn't matter who, doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter when. Utah is going to bring that dominance up front, and we've seen it yet again, a top 10 rushing defense in the country to start this year. A really big test, though, out of Chip Kelly and the Bruins. 270 yards per game, Joe, on the ground for UCLA so far, the third best rushing attack in the country. Carson Steele, the Ball State transfer, 67.5, the rushing yards prop. He's had 73 in the first three, at least, for UCLA. Maybe an angle there. I think Utah wins by at least a touchdown, Joe. I agree. Dante Moore in for the biggest test he has seen so far. The primetime slate, Joe, will look at the Pac-12 battle and the Palouse in Pullman tomorrow night. It is Washington State, 21st in the country, hosted 14th ranked Oregon State. It's a 3-point spread, Joe, in favor of the Beavs. Is this the real Pac-12 championship game?
I think it is, and I watched DJU struggle in the second half against an average, you know, San Diego State team. I know they won the ball game. Now he goes on the road. I think Cam Ward is the better quarterback, completing over 70% of his passes, and more importantly, Washington State, 61% third down conversions on an offense. That might carry through. I like Washington State in the mild upset.
DJ Uiagalelei, Joe, last week against San Diego State, 14 of 30 for 284 yards, a touchdown and two interceptions. He has scored a rushing score, 4 in total this year, but in every game so far, maybe an anytime TD price on DJU. Two marquee games in the primetime window to break down for you quickly here on the other side of the break on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Six ranked versus ranked matchups on a Saturday in college football. We've hit four of the six and Clemson, Florida State, Joe. So let's round out with the two in primetime featuring three Big Ten teams. But, Joe, we start with the top 10 tilt under the watchful eye of Touchdown Jesus on Saturday night in South Bend. It is ninth ranked Notre Dame hosting sixth ranked Ohio State. The line's still 3.5 in favor of the Bucs. Actually, Joe, it dropped to 3 in favor of Ohio State. Now it's locked as I see it. Anyway, the over-under in the mid-50s. Joe, the line in the offseason was 7.5 in favor of Ohio State. It has worked only to Notre Dame. Do you agree with that line movement?
Well, it got as high as 8.5 because I have a ticket with 8.5 in the offseason back in June. So, yeah, it's felt like a rock. Now, again, it's going to come down to the rushing attack. I believe in Notre Dame's ability to pound the rock. That's the weakness for Ohio State. I know it's down to 3, but I can only look to Notre Dame and Sam Hartman in this ballgame, Ben.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to that rushing attack, Joe. We both brought this up in breaking down the game. You referenced Michigan, and people might think, why are you bringing up Michigan? A completely different program, a different style, a different type of athlete out there, whatever it might be, in a game against Ohio State for Notre Dame. Well, Michigan has laid out the track record in that physicality on the ground against the Buckeyes. If Jim Knowles shores it up, and so far this year that Ohio State defense has been the best part of this team, then I think Ohio State stays in this football game. But if Audric Estime runs over this Buckeyes defense, his prop tomorrow 77.5, then it could be a long night in South Bend, and Notre Dame might improve to 5-0. Quickly here, Joe, in Happy Valley, Penn State a 14.5 point favorite against Iowa, the over-under 39.5. Lisi Guy, what's the approach?
Penn State 41-8 straight up since 2016 at home, and Iowa only throwing for a buck 50. That's the difference. Penn State in a rout.
39.5 is the total. That's a Big Ten football game, folks, for you right there. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. You'll have more tomorrow on College Football Today at 9 a.m. Eastern. Football Full Circles back next week. Have a great weekend.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Bah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.